And Gavin Steinhobel has joined me for our regular Wednesday catch-up. Nice to see you again, Gav.
Yeah, good to be back, Dave.
I see you were out and about with shotguns and friends and having a wonderful, generally speaking, a wonderful time, which is the way one should enjoy.
Back in the province of my birth, the Orange Free State, or the Orange River Colony, as it was once known.
Was it indeed a colony?
It was.
Well, how things change. Eh? The more things change, the more they stay the same, they say.
Well, you know, we forget almost everyone in this country was colonized at some stage.
Well, and we continue to be, according to the experts. You're settler. We're all settlers. Isn't it just amazing how the past is still held up as the reason for, and I suppose to a degree it is the reason why we have reached this current impasse in terms of our existence.
I think I've noticed one thing about people in general and politicians in particular is they'll only look to the past and hold it up when it suits their purposes.
Oh!
But when it doesn't, like for example, if you say, well, let's look at the past, and we go, well, you know, race-based policies, political policies and legislation really was a bad idea and didn't work. Well, you can't hold that up now and say, well, you know, why are we still doing it? Because we don't want to learn that from history. We just want to learn the things that suit us. But anyway, there we go.
I was wondering, following our conversation last week, where we took more of an overview in terms of, you know, looking at the legal aspect of particularly property. And I thought maybe we should continue in that vein just for a short while because it was very interesting. Mm. And one of the things that we touched on but we didn't really get into was how AI has either come to the assistance of or the converse in terms of the selling and registering of a property, buying, selling, registering. And I just in preparation for our chat today, I did a little dive into the proposition with my friend Chat.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Some people call him Grok.
I've even started to move in that direction, as I mentioned a few two episodes ago.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Just, getting it to assist with the drawing of contracts, and it's actually really adept at doing that.
Yes, well, that's what I thought I would. I asked my friend if I could conclude a sale of my property in South Africa using AI, without an attorney or estate agent involved. And he came back, well, she or it came back and explained that you can legally conclude the sale of your property in South Africa without using an attorney or estate agent, but there are important legal requirements and practical risks to consider. And I wanted to look at that particularly because...
it's a good conversation to have. So... One of the things that we must understand about the property law in South Africa, as it stands, is the systems have remained unchanged for a very long time, and that is that you have a written deed, it's drawn up by a conveyancer, signed off by a conveyancer, and it's sent to the registrar, and the registrar is simply they're going to have a couple of examiners that look at it to make sure it's correct, and the registrar will sign it off, and that'll be the transfer of your property. Now, you can't submit a new title deed or any registrable document unless it's prepared by someone qualified to prepare it, and that person signs what's called a prep clause, where they acknowledge at the top of the document that they prepared this document and they're responsible for any errors in it. Okay, so you can't transfer your property. Can you conclude a sale without an attorney or an estate agent? Of course you can. You know, you can probably download an agreement that's in pretty standard form. You won't understand what you've downloaded in all likelihood, and you won't understand which clauses are missing or which clauses might still have to come in. But it can be done, and I think in fairly basic situations, it probably will be done without any real trauma. But you, From there, you're going to go and have to see one of my colleagues or myself, and we're going to have to take the registration process on for you.
That's what ChatGPT was quite clear about.
The reason that conveyances even exist is that originally in South Africa, what would happen is if you sold your property, you and the buyer would go and appear before the local magistrate, and the local magistrate would type up a new title deed for the chap coming in your place as the new owner and sign it off, and he would then cancel the existing deed by drawing some red lines through it, and the buyer would then gallop off with his new title deed, and that'll be his proof that he owns the land in terms of the survey diagram that's attached to it. In any event, a lengthy story truncated. What happened is in the fullness of time, there were a lot more property transactions as we started to survey and divvy up the country and issue title deeds. And so this was too much for the magistrates and the judges to do, and they decided to look to the private practitioners and to create a class of practitioner that would do the administrative work in terms of creating these deeds. And you'd go, and then they created a class of bureaucrat, the registrar of deeds, who would then be the sole person with the authority to bring the new deed into existence, to cancel the old deed, and then they kept a copy and they gave you a copy. You used to have duplicate deeds. So that's the process. Now, what happened is not so long ago. I don't know if it was could be as far as a decade or less than that. The department did have a meeting in Pietermaritzburg, and they convened all the conveyances, and they said, you know what we're going to do? At least the lodging process of these deeds can be done electronically, so we don't have to create a physical deed here, you know, courier it down like we do every single day to Pietermaritzburg, get an agent there to take the deed and go and lodge it at the deeds office and deal with any queries, and then recover the deed when it registers and send it back to us. And they out with the laptops, and they had their roadshow, and I think there was about three questions asked when it became quite obvious that what they were contemplating, for various reasons, they hadn't thought a lot of things through. And
so it's still a paper trail.
And ever since then, it's been crickets from their thing. Can it be improved? Can it be, can it be more electronically based? I'm sure it can. You know, we've got an act of Parliament that allows a whole host of documents just to be signed electronically, where you just click your signature on the document and that's considered valid. It specifically excludes the sale of property.
Okay.
And the reason that it does is because if somebody commandeers your computer, they can have your property transferred by simply using your electronic signature on all these documents. So we still require for sale agreements to be in wet ink signed by the person authorized to sell the property. And the same with the transfer documents. It's in wet ink. It's signed by that individual. It's not signed through a computer. It's not signed through the ether. And that is because we've always recognized that the greatest asset anybody ever owns is their property, most people. And so we treat it as a very important transaction where we absolutely need to know what happens. And you never, ever hear of somebody's property being transferred without their knowledge, because they have to, in the process, twice be present to sign in wet ink.
Now, what happens in the case of expropriation? If someone's land is to be expropriated with or without compensation, but let's just say for argument's sake, without compensation.
So what the Registrar of Deeds does is the registration process is purely registering a transaction or an act that occurred in reality and putting it in the record books. So I sold my property to you. Well, the transfer of that property is recognized by the registrar. It's happened. You've sold. I, as a conveyancer, made sure the money was right and you're going to get paid. We told the registrar, please record this act that we've had between these two players, the seller who wants to transfer his property to the buyer. The registrar records that. Now, there's other grounds on which to transfer property. we're talking now about a sale, but other grounds would be, for example, if a property is attached by the sheriff and sold in execution, then we'd go to the registrar and say, look, we're not too worried about the owner because there's another act that happened in reality. The sheriff attached this and then sold this. Could you please record that act? And the registrar will then, in his causa, every deed has a causa, which says, what is the cause of this transaction? The conveyance would have the causa clause saying, in terms of a court order handed down on such and such a date and the sale and execution held on such and such a date, we transfer this property to the chap who bought it at the execution. Now, with expropriation, the causa would read, in terms of such and such an act of parliament, the minister has or the court has allowed for the expropriation of this property. Please transfer it to the state.
So there are legal work.
There are legal ways of doing it. Yeah. So expropriation can occur and does occur all over the world, but it's normally when something's in fiercely in the. For example, if you when the N3 was built, I mean, across a whole lot of farms, you can't expect to go and get every single farm owner's consent, and one chap along the proposed route says you're not coming through my farm. Well, the state needs to be able in that case to flex its muscles and say, look, chap, the road's coming through here whether you like it or not. All we got to determine is how much we need to pay you for the land that we're going to traverse and we're going to expropriate from you. They'd send out the surveyors. The surveyors would survey the route of the road. They take it off his title deed, put it on its own little title deed in favor of the state, and they'd pay him out for the value. Traditionally, it was always agreed. You'd approach the farmer and say, look, we're going to do this. If the farmer says, look, I think it's worth R1 billion and it's worth a couple of hundred thousand, the state would then have the ability to obtain some kind of court order and say, look, this is the value, the true value, the market value. But generally, I mean, the state was generally reasonably soft on their negotiations just to get things done. And so, but at the end of the day, people were compensated for their loss, which they should be, because they're sacrificing part of their farmland for the benefit of all.
Well, exactly. And if it is a kind of compensatory deal where you're going to have a piece of your property sectioned off, but we're going to create an underpass for you to be able to access the other side of the road, etc. Yeah. All of that's part of the deal. This is not a huge amount of inconvenience in the process.
Yeah. So when we lay out townships, for example, there's an automatic omnibus servitude. So part of the earth or property that is in that title deed that you own is subject to a servitude in favor of the municipality, and that's where they reticulate their electricity and water and sewage through. And they're entitled, and you're not allowed to build onto it, and you're not allowed to cover it in any way.
That's in theory, is it?
That's in theory, yeah. That's
in theory. Practice.
Well, in practice, if you do ignore the servitude, you could very well have to demolish what you've built and not be refunded for it because you've done the wrong thing. So, yeah, as we're living in this sort of in a very strange country, as we said earlier about the historic the history of this country always comes through and affects everything. Where we're held to a very high standard in the suburbs, but just across the road you can build anything you like and you don't need to pay rates and you don't need to worry about fire regulations or engineer's certificates or anything like that. And it's understandable because there's no way that people on that side of the road can afford those things. But ultimately, we're in a two-tier system. But if you are going to be in the suburbs or in the estates, you're going to have to abide by these rules. And, one should do it joyously and gladly because, it's lovely living in a rules-ordered society than living in chaos.
Well, and I think that's a very good point to conclude. Thank you. That's very elucidating because it was on my mind. Everyone hears about, you don't need to go through all the costs and the schlep of having other people involved. You can do it yourself. The best idea is to get a professional.
I expect that the system over time will change. Unfortunately, I don't suspect that there's anybody competent on the state side to drive it. But the system as it is works perfectly well, in terms of, but it's expensive because it's expensive in terms of qualified people who have to do certain jobs. And, can it be streamlined? I believe it can. But, you know, it's going to have to be a smooth transition without bugger-ups because, you know, if we're doing 15,000 or so registrations in Pietermaritzburg a month, you know, and these things start and the system collapses, you know, you've got a whole lot of property that's in limbo. And it's a very expensive story. You know, there's billions that get transacted every month. So it has to be right and it has to work well. And then you've also got another class of people that rely on this heavily, and that are the money lenders, the banks. You know, they need absolute security on the property, because if there's anything wrong with the deed and the property is not correctly transferred, or, you know, it's their security as well. And there's billions as well. If you think of the value of all the mortgage loans that are granted every month and paid out. So it's very important that this system work absolutely. And if we are going to change the system, I'm not against change, but the new system has to work absolutely. And that's where we haven't had any guidance from the state, and it doesn't appear that anything's really been done about it. So we'll probably carry on like this for the foreseeable. But ultimately, things must and will change.
And there we leave it for today. You need a good attorney to help you with your transfers. Well, Gavin Steinhobel is expert, and his company, Kloppers Inc., down in the Balito Village, will be delighted to assist. Gavin, we'll catch up in a week's time.
Super. Thank you, Dave.
And the morning show continues.